Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, on the street day and night, that's my life, that's my home. Ain't got nowhere else I can go. So I just walk the streets telling the people about Jesus. From corner to corner, from door to door. But they all make fun of me and say, I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Oh, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody.
Amen, amen. I love that song. I mean, I just love that song. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. Well, good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. You know, the song said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who could save anybody. That is so, so true. He can save any one of us. All we got to do is be willing, have an open heart and an open mind to receive the blessing that God gave us when he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for our sins, that we could die to sin and live unto righteousness. God is good. God is good. God is so good that he is great. He is great. Yes, I am happy today to come before you because, again, this is the day God has given us his strength and his breath that we may go forward into the golden opportunity of going into the world and sharing the good news, the gospel of Christ. This is the good news we should live for. Well, you know, I love my favorite scripture, Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, attend to my word, incline thy ears unto saying, let them not depart from thy eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find it, and health to all their flesh. If we truly are looking for the medicine, the vaccine that really heals us, this is God's word. I was having a discussion with someone yesterday, about the vaccine. And I said, you know, there's twofold here. It's based on where your faith level is at. If your faith is in man's medicine, because that's where you at in the ladder of faith, if you will, then take the vaccine, because it's important for you, because that's where your comfort zone is at. And for those of us who are not walking in fear, who faith is in God's word, because no matter what, you got to believe God's word, even that the vaccine will work. So we cannot condemn other people because they may not be ready to take the vaccine. Yes, praise God, it's available. But again, it's based on people's level of faith, and we should work with them. Again, because God is a good God. He's a healing God. See, again, his word is the healing power. He said he sent his word to heal them and redeem them from their destruction. See, God's word is the healing power. No matter how much man can do, God is the creator. God is the innovator. We're just the ones that reshape, redesign, and reform what God has already established. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, you know, I'm always open to this part. This is so significant to me. And the more I grow in my walk, the more I realize that the prayer of salvation is so important, because really what it is, it is the key that opens up the door to all the blessings that God has for us. All the blessings that God has for us. Can you imagine that? That David said to us, Lord, I forget not all your benefits. You forgive us of our iniquity. You crowned us with your loving kindness and tender mercy. You satisfy our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. You heal all thy diseases. I mean, when you think about the benefits that God gives, and more than anything else, he sent his only begotten son to save us. Oh, you need to have that key. You need to have that key. So as I go into prayer, I'm going to incorporate the prayer of salvation for anybody that may be on the line. And sometimes one would say, well, why would I go into something I know nothing about? Well, I'm telling you, this is what walking by faith is all about. To accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior is beginning and an establishment of you developing in faith. As I told a story not too long ago about a gentleman that said he trusted God. He trusted God. So you trust me, then cut the rope. And the man didn't cut the rope. And when they found the man the next day, he was only 3 feet from the ground. 3 feet from the ground, because he was on a mountain. He had come spiraling down. But he believed more in the capacity of his abilities and what man had made, or as I could say, reshaped the reform, which was that cable, than trusting God. But the prayer of salvation opens up that door. And as you begin to learn more about God, you begin to increase your faith. Hallelujah. So let's go in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for your love, your mercy, and your grace, and forgiveness of our sins. Father God, you sent your only begotten Son for the price, Father God. He took upon his body the chastisement of our peace, what we deserve, what we deserve. He did this because you showed us through him how much you loved us. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for those who may not know you or may not have established a relationship with you, I thank you, Father God, that right now I'm praying that they accept you as their personal Lord and Savior, and they will say with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus died upon the cross for them and that thou may be saved. But we know, Father God, in the name of Jesus, once they accept you as their personal Lord and Savior, the work begins. The work begins. The work begins. This is so significant because we have to understand that faith without works is dead. So, Father God, I just thank you right now, Father God, that they be open and ready to go to work. Or we go to a 9-to-5 in a heartbeat because we're looking for an exchange of something better known as currency. But Father God, what you give is beyond the treasures here on earth. And we will begin to grow and understand the importance of building our treasures up in heaven, because those are eternal. So, Father God, I thank you that they have accepted Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Father God, I thank you right now as I go forward in the name of Jesus that you give me the ability as I decrease, the Holy Spirit will increase in me to give me the opportunity to share what you impart upon my heart, Father God, to give so that we may grow and mature spiritually in our walk with you. As you said in your I in them and thou in me, that thou may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know if thou hast sent me and loved them as you have loved me. Father God, we want to walk in that love. We want to become that perfect union with you, Father God, of spiritual maturity. So, Father God, I thank you that you help me to present, Father God, as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We always like to give a few quotes. One goes, faithless is he that says farewell when the road darkens. Oh, when life gets tough. When life, as this gentleman I was talking about, he has stumbled into darkness. He has stumbled into darkness. There used to be a song by a group called War called Slipping in the Darkness. But when our life gets dark, when the clouds get around us, when the fog gets too thick to see, do we become faithless or do we become faith-standing people? We stand in our ground no matter what. And then it says, your hardest time often leads to the greatest moment of your life. Keep going. Tough situations build strong people in the end. Strong people. I've never seen a man build muscle that didn't have pressure placed upon him through the weight. We must be willing to take on the pressures of life because as we take on the pressures of life, this helps us to ever increase in our faith because we overcome one pressure of another pressure of another pressure. Through Christ, we become stronger. And when then we can boldly say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the next one is, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. See, once you get established in Christ and you start walking with God, you draw near to him, he draws near to you. Now you begin to understand the secrets, if you will, through the Holy Spirit of what God has established for us. So now the unknown doesn't break you because you know now you're unbreakable because you're in Christ. The battle is already won. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just glorify and magnify your name, God. I thank you right now that you continue to show us, Father, that we can walk in you. We can talk in you. We can grow in you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And the scripture tells us, hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. In 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, but who is correctly handling the words of truth. And 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Kept the faith. You kept the faith. You kept full assurance in the heavens that God would deliver what he said he would. And what I often tell many people now as I begin to grow, I understand that when we don't receive always what we want, maybe it's not in God's will. See, God knows best for us. As he said, that I know the plans I have for your life. I know the plans I have for your life. And God is always going to ensure that if we follow him, the possibility of harm coming to us would be minimum, if not at all. I don't want to be a grandiose to think that life doesn't bring challenges that one wouldn't experience harm because we know that Job experienced all kind of harm. But God says that he gives us a hope and a future. And that's what we have to hold on to. That's what we have to hold on to. Hallelujah. Then it says, Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. When we do this, we begin to grow. See, our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotion, begin to change. See, our mind starts aligning with the heart and mind of Christ. Our will is wanted to do what God wills us to do. As Jesus said, it's not my will, let it your will be done. And then we begin to recognize how to control those emotions, you see. See, God did not give us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. He begins to change our mind. We begin to be transformed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, thank you. Well, I want to share a few stories with you, if you will. One is by a gentleman whose name is Louis Zamperini. And it says here, in a single silent moment, his rage, his fear, his humiliation, his helplessness had fallen away. That morning, he believed he was a new creation. Softly, he wept. Lauren Hillenbrand, she was called Unbroken. This is about a gentleman who was an Olympic runner and a talented mischief maker whose incredible survival story, 30-plus days floating in the open ocean after his plane crashed into the sea. Then a year in a brutal Japanese POW camp being tortured by sadistic guards. His life became a bestseller, and the movie was even directed by Angelina Jolie. You see, despite his amazing endurance and his and the hero welcome he received after returning home, Lewis struggled hard with the demons of PTSD and revenge. See, I understand that. I understand PTSD. These demons get on you like nobody's business. And certain situations will trigger these emotions. And basically, if one doesn't understand what PTSD is, post-traumatic stress disorder. The stress becomes so terrible. And you don't have to go to war to have this. There are many people walking around with these challenges. But again, the battle's already won. Even though we may, again, one cannot deny if you come back and you lost the leg, that your leg is not gone. As we always say, these are the wounds that don't bleed. You still struggle. And as much as I like to put on the S on my own chest and say that I'm a super spiritual soldier, there are times that I recognize the pain and the traumatic things that happened when I was in the war zone too many times. So what happened? This is a typical story of a soldier. His marriage began to fall apart, and he nearly hurt his baby daughter and strangled his wife, Cynthia. I understand that because I went to stay, when I came home, I went to stay home with my mother for a while. She came into the room and I was strangling my own mother. Fortunate enough, she got away because she was trying to wake me up out of my sleep. War is real, people. There used to be the old jokes. Hey, you know, Uncle Joe, he crazy. He got that shell shock. He got that battle fatigue. This is real, people. We deal, as a soldier, so I'm a soldier. These are the issues that we deal with. As they would always say to me, when I go to the doctor on the outside, you look great. But it's not just the emotional, mental challenges that I took on a lot of physical ailments and challenges. But I press on. I press on, just like Lewis did. But then Lewis heard the message of the gospel, just like Lewis, so did I. It turned into an entirely different person. He changed. He said, I once had the privilege to listen to Lewis speak before his death. He was humorous, he was kind, he was inspirational. It was hard to believe that he had once gone through such horrible experiences, and that they had twisted him into a hate-filled, bitter man for a period of time because he was so cheerful and sweet. I personally never reached the point of hate. That was well established what that word meant by my mother when I was a child, at 5 or 6. But I understand because I've met many of my battles who have struggled with this, who have struggled with this, who have struggled with hate and revenge. Says that it was also hard to hear him. The crowds were large, and he was an old man at that point, but it was such a privilege and a joy to see a person even from a distance. You see, what they had learned with their bitterness and vengefulness is vain. It destroys us from the inside out, and it hurts those we love as well. Forgiveness is freedom, but forgiveness is not something we can or want to do to muster up or at all. It only comes from God. Forgiveness is freedom. And forgiveness is not necessarily for the other person. It's for you. It's for you to be able to move forward. When you learn to forgive, you begin to live. So many people I meet along my path say they just can't forgive their father, can't forgive their mother. I had one said at a funeral that if she could have smacked her mother, she would have. I mean, we let that deep anger and frustration get inside of us. But the Word tells us to be slow to anger. This is a part of the attributes of love. See, it tells us to forget, not to remember the past, if you will. Let me step back a second. It tells us that we should not hold on to the negativities, if you will. The evil that was done for us. Keep no record of wrong. There you go. Keep no record of wrong. See, if God kept the record of wrong of all our doings that we violated, we denied, we quenched the Holy Spirit, we'd be in trouble. But see, love is something great because it starts off by saying love is patient. Love is patient. So we see that Lewis began to change because he let that negativity go. He let it go. And that is so important for us to move forward. Now I want to share with you another gentleman, again, who they made a movie about. His name is Chad Williams, The Seal of God. Chad Williams said, I had reached my mountaintop only, the view disappointed me. And there was no higher step to take. Why did I feel so disappointed? He says, after his mentor, Scott Heatherstone, was brutally killed in Iraq and his death televised, the young Chad Williams vowed to become a Navy SEAL and avenge Scott's death, revenge. Then the Lord say, vengeance is mine. William was one of the few who managed to actually complete SEAL training in his first try. They have a bell that if you don't make it, they ring that bell and they send you on your way home. Sometimes they'll let you, after you talk to command or what have you, they thought you had real potential. We call it recycle you. But Chad found that his victory was strangely empty. He began to party heavy with friends. He lost control of himself. And the Word tells us self-control is a part of fruit of the Spirit, but he didn't have that kind of fruit. He wasn't established in that yet. So much so that he frightened his own parents until he found out about God and his plan for him. And he did a total 180-degree turn with his life. God can turn it around. God can make crooked straight. The Seal of God is a story about how Chad Williams came to find a mission even more meaningful than his initial dream of revenge. Remember this, his initial dream, he dreamed about revenge. I had a friend that wanted to take out a commander. He dreamed, he got so sick that he couldn't even taste and smell anymore. Vengeance is mean. It's a vicious demon that will take you out. Our prisons are filled with people who want to get revenge. But see, God can turn around. See, it had drowned him so much that his hardest military training was no comparison. But what did he learn? Even the greatest worldly accomplishment is empty when you are empty. See, we are vessels that if we don't have God's word established in us, we basically empty vessels walking around. We're almost like them zombies. We got no connection to the world anymore. But we don't realize that because Satan is a great illusionist. He can trick us in anything. I notice in my own personal experience, and as those who listen to me on a continue, I have no bones about talking about me. Because as I told my group today, if I can turn around and help one human being to have a better life in Christ, then for me, my job is done. My job is done. So what's the moral of the story? Life is so unpredictable. Even though we strive hard to be as effective as possible in our faith and walk, we sometimes encounter our Job stories, as Lewis and Chad did. They can either help us to increase in our faith or lose faith. Thus, in order that one can become all God intended for us to be, we will need to recognize the treasures we build here on earth are temporary. But the greatest thing that we should be building is our treasures up in heaven because they are eternal. And as Chad stated, the greatest worldly accomplishments are empty when you are empty and you cannot be fulfilled by the worldly things. The only way that you can be fulfilled is through a life in Christ. Hallelujah. So this moves us into our show. I thought this was going to be a two-parter, but it's going to move right into a three-parter. And as the Holy Spirit leads, it may go into more. Praise God. But I'm learning as I'm doing the shows. You know, I'm a complete the mission kind of guy. So got to get it done. This is the way I was trained. This is the way I was going to make it happen was our favorite line. Make it happen. So in my as I share this, in my maturity or my mature walk, I'm learning that I don't have to feed the whole elephant. So bear with me as I go forward. You know, I'm learning as I go how to deliver, how to communicate, and what is significant, what I need to do, instead of just make it happen. What we want to do is see change happen. We want to see change happen. And if it's a slow walk, it's a slow walk. You know, we say in the Army, you crawl, you walk, and then you run. Well, see, I've been running so long, especially because of my leadership role, that I sometimes forget about the crawling part, that you got to take your time. Got to let patience have its perfect work. So bear with me here. Again, as we continue developing ever-increasing faith with our walk with God, seeing the future in us, tools for building discipleship that will lead to our ever-increasing faith with Christ. So last week I pointed out the way we start off in life is not always the way we end up. And that I believe that we are walking books that have a beginning and a middle chapter for which the closing or the finishing of that book is our transition back home to our Heavenly Father. I suggested we need to be careful how we view people from a judgmental standpoint, because what we see in an individual in the moment comes with parts of their story that we may lack information to really understand who they are and what they are to become. That is, in the case of the gentleman in the song, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. See, we're looking at the outside, but you know Jesus always looked at the inside, even God when he was selecting David. Man looks at the outer appearance. Then I share some of the trailers of my own life, not in major detail, but enough to know that it was a colorful life, that it had many circles, and in many circles I would be condemned, and in some circles I'd be praised, depending on what circle I was in. Either way, from my standpoint, those first few chapters were a part of God's way as he related to my development. You see, one thing I've learned is that God's way is different from our way. Oh, yeah. And we must always remember that God has a plan for our life, a plan that consists of prosperity as he defines prosperity, which will give us that hope and that future and not for harm. But you know we always sidebar. Thus, apart from God's way, there come some phases in it. And the first part of understanding God's way, as I've learned, is deliverance. If God had to deliver me, I would be lost forever in the punishment that comes with the fall and doomed to life of hell here on earth and beyond. Yet I understand even more so that God's love comes with patience, which allows us to move into the second part, which is about development. See, as I said, getting saved is the easy part. The development is the work. It is the work because he says that we should work out our salvation. We got to work. You know, and again, as I said earlier, we got no bones about going in punching a 9-to-5. And some of us do overtime and do 16 hours. And if we can, we'll push 24 because we're trying to get that money. As I said, we on the grind. But the reality of it is, again, we're on the grind to an endless, like an endless circle or like a hamster in a cage. We're really going nowhere. But see, God's intent is for us to develop and mature in him. So the second part is the way we develop in him. We must develop our spiritual walk. We must grow into our being or becoming, and this takes time and patience from God and within ourselves. See, we must be patient with ourselves. I don't necessarily say I lack patience, but I lack patience with me. I have a whole lot of patience for everybody else, but I always got to get it. When I was 10, I was learning how to play the guitar. I wasn't doing it fast enough. It wasn't happening fast enough, so I moved on to the trumpet.
We're doing it fast enough. So I went on to the flute. We're doing it fast enough. I went on, and I realized I could play them all. But I didn't develop it like I should have. So I took the easy way out and just started singing. Now, I pushed that. I pushed that wire because it was easy. I didn't want to work too hard because I wanted to do all these other things. So it was easy. And, you know, to some degree, I had some success. But that wasn't what the third part was. It wasn't my destiny. God's way is about our destiny. That future he talks about, what we're going to be doing in the future. Which when we study God's word and we come closer to him, he begins to show us those things that we don't know. He begins to open up doors that we couldn't go through. He begins to open our eyes to when we was blind. You see, in all my life's circumstances and challenges, concerns, whether they were good, bad, or indifferent, were defining moments that shaped me for who I am today. And they were also the pages for your own life that formulate who you are today. Nothing is out of a vacuum. Everything builds upon everything, good, bad, or indifferent. I also suggested that I ask the question, why would God want to even consider using a man like me when there are so many dynamic folks of various roles, status, and positions that haven't done a portion of the ills in life that I engaged myself in during my journey?
Sorry, it's kind of went to a pause. I mean, I just think about, oh, God. I speak about what God has done for me, what he has done for me. I was nobody godly, saintly, or surely not sinless. Yet I'm sitting up here today talking about our Heavenly Father. I embrace this. I love this. A whole new different God. A whole new different God. Yet to press on through this life and get past the guilt and the shame that sometimes people put me in, God showed me there were people during the biblical days which were noteworthy but human nonetheless, for which their humanness was presented as mine, and yet God still, and they were not blameless and upright as he defined Job. They either sinned consciously or knowing or unconsciously unaware, yet God chose to use them anyway. Their human development through trials and error helped them to experience deliverance, development that led them to their destiny as they developed an ever-increasing faith with their walk in God. Some of them characters I talked about, excuse me, were Noah. What did God do with Noah, even though at times he had planted the vineyard and he got intoxicated? Yet God used Noah to give him instructions to build an ark and afterward replenish the entire race of descendants that came from Noah's three sons. My God. That's big. That's big. He used Moses, who committed murder. Yet Moses led the people out of slavery into Egypt to the promised land. He used Rahab, the prostitute, at the Canaanite city of Jericho. Well, she helped them to set up a place of lineage. She was a part of the setup for the place of lineage for Jesus Christ. She helped the Israelites defeat the pagan folks. Then there was David, had the affair, and he was a murderer in some degree. So, or at least a conspiracy, because he had the soldier go out. However, David would become the first king of Jerusalem, whose reign was later looked back as the golden era. Also, his other talents may be less intense, but also valuable to us. He was known as the sweet singer of Israel that provided a source of poems and songs, which is a collection of psalms. Oh, we quote psalm all day long. God took that which was not sinless and still did his best. God, Peter denied Christ, as I like to say. He lied three times that he even know Christ. Peter was a simple man, became a part of Jesus in a circle. He grew in maturity as a follower of Jesus. Peter showed the world non-Jews could be Christians. Peter went from being Simon to become Peter the Rock. When Jesus reminded Peter of his identity. See, we have a new identity now. This is not our home.
and the importance when he said to him in Matthew 16:18, I said also unto thee that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The name Peter means a rock or a stone. Jesus knew Peter's destiny. Not what he was, but what he was to become. And then there is Paul the Zealous, the relentless prosecutor. Yet God helped Paul to begin to preach to the Gentiles. Appearing out of his own revelatory experience that this was the mission that was given to him by God. When God called him to function as a prophet for this new Jesus movement. Remember, he was trying to stop the Jesus movement. Yet he was the one that would write a good portion of the New Testament. As a matter of fact, he would be the one to define the clarity of the agape love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God can use us all. And I said, as I look back and I think about, as I share these stories of those who passed and of my own, we learn that these individuals were able to turn their life around and develop an ever-increasing faith in God by following his ways. And even during those times when they're on their walk, they got crooked, they were sure that God could make it straight again. Hallelujah. You see, my friends, the crooked path is the way that leads to spiritual, emotional emptiness and death. Isn't that what happened to Lewis and Chad? The death. Never to fulfill our destiny. Whereas the straight path leads to life, a life of meaning. You know, Viktor Frankl, I talked about him. He talks about the purpose-driven life. There was one time that book was established as the excellent, meaningful life. But it gives us life. It gives our life meaning, purpose. We receive the power and the blessing for us, and that we may be able to share to others. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we also understand that many people are frustrated by the things about this walk because we as people, just people, let's not even look at the meaning of Christianity or spiritual or religion, just we as people sometimes are so insensitive or we lack sensitivity or empathy that we speak things out as the word tells us that the power of life and death is in the tongue. So therefore, we should choose life. But sometimes what comes out of our mouths is not life-filling. It's not nutritional for us. So therefore, people turn away from the ideal of Christianity to walk with Christ. They find themselves just saying, well, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. But we understand even with spirituality, faith without works is there. You still got to do the work, and many would not be willing to do the work. You see, James tells us in 2:20, even so faith, if it hath not work, it is dead, being alone. Yet a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have work. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. We got to do the work. So by doing the work, we understand that we can help people who may have through their parents, education, their culture, misfortunes, lovers, colleagues, relationship, wrongdoing, scandals that they see through the media, we can help turn it around because we're willing to do the work. We're willing to do the work. I was out Friday doing a Stop the Violence March, and there were people out there, and some of them people were my people, the folks on the block. They got tore up from the floor, many of them. But I come now with something different. Some of my counterparts, they kept it moving because they were afraid. But I wasn't afraid because I've been there, done that. I've been on those blocks. Matter of fact, it was right in my neighborhood. I was on them blocks. So I understood the lingo. I understood how to relate to them. And I could curtail that anger when they were telling, keep it moving, keep it moving. We ain't trying to hear all that. You know, we try to do our thing, keep it moving. And I was quick. The Holy Spirit would help me to be quick with it, to be able to redirect that anger. And then some came apologetic. I'm a little high right now, man, but what y'all doing is good. See, God knows how to use us all. So that leads me to my question. How can anyone increase in their faith walk if we as people don't help build our relationship, help them to build their relationship with Christ so they too can gain the true understanding, wisdom, and discernment to properly make quality decisions that keep them growing in their walk in Christ as they begin to be set free or delivered and they begin to develop so we can keep them moving towards their destiny, towards their destiny. We all got a destiny. We all got one. See, this would allow us, if we move to understand their story, this would help them to ever increase in their faith, to be open to serve God. But as I was on another show yesterday, and one of the things they asked me, how do you help redeem the family? And they gave me what initiatives that I would do and brought up or my ideals about how can redeem the past and establish trust. And I'm not just talking about bloodline. Establish trust. What are the things I used to say always in our men's group overseas? Because we had people from all walks of life, all cultures. And some would sit in the group and not say a word. And I always would say, before I start facilitating, I joined a few groups. I said, nobody's going to talk to you unless they trust you. And this is not being the perfect who is sinless or the perfect as a person who is perfect, but being authentic, being genuine, showing that you have a heart. Nobody cares how much you know. They want to know how much you care. That's the bottom line. When I'm out there in the streets and the guys on the grind doing their business, they don't care. They don't care about how much knowledge you got. They want to know if you really care. And they're going to detect it. They're going to read you just like a Hollywood romance novel. They're either going to say you trash or you real. You know, I know these terms change all the time, as they would say, I guess it was a few years back, keeping it 100. They're going to know if you're 100 or not, or you're just a perpetrator. See, so we have to be willing to know their story. You see, and I understood this as I started to begin to read God's word. I recognized something here. I recognized something about Christ. See, Christ walked and talked with the men. He got to know their story for 3 years, and he spent every day with them, and they were willing to be with him. You see, out of Matthew 18:22, Jesus called his first disciple. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me. Jesus said, I will send you out to fish for people. And once they left their net and they followed him. So I want to bring a few tools, if you will, into play. I may not get to finish them all, and we'll pick it up. But see, these tools are going to help us, to help others as well as ourselves to move closer to our destiny. We become disciple makers and not judge and jury. Whereby we will not only help ourselves to increase in our faith, but also help others so we can stay on this faith walk. As I was talking to my prayer group, I thanked them in a very emotional way because they helped me. Pastor Teresa and Elder Q, they helped me in my walk. There are many times I want to say, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. It gets so hard to press on towards the mark. But because God brings people to be the iron, the sharper iron, I can press on. Well, I've established a little more in my faith walk, but what about those that have not? What about those that had a faith walk? I had a young man come up and said he was been preaching for 15 years. He was done with it because he allowed man, the cares of the world to choke it out. So what did we do? We first started, we must know that God loves us and that we have value. You see, John 17:23, and Pastor always say, I'm going to try to slow it down so you can get these scriptures, because these scriptures, as I said earlier, they are life unto those that find it. Life unto those that find it. Life unto those that find it. Life. Medicine. Not just physical medicine, but the medicine to the heart. A whole lot of people walking around here with broken hearts. Distorted minds, not because they have a true mental illness, but a distorted mind because like Chad and Lewis, they're angry. filled with hatred, filled with anger. We see all these behaviors that people driving faster than they ever did. Their cars shouldn't even be able to go fast. People cutting people off, people going off on people, people killing people, more so. It's always been going on, but more so, it's increasing. So instead of having ever increasing faith in the full assurance in God, where we can continue to grow and mature spiritually, people are getting more, their increase is coming more into their anger and their frustration and their pain. Their pain. You see, the word tells us in John 17:20, show us what Jesus wants us to know about how he values. He said, I in them, thou in me, that thou may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and loved them as thou hast loved me. And then Romans 8:32 tells us, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And then Psalm 139:34, he said, it was you who created my inward parts, knitted me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So what does this all mean? God's value of us is genuine, so deep, so amazing, beyond full human comprehension, yet simple enough to let us know he loves us in such a way that he wants us to be perfect with him, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And he didn't mind letting us know he loves us equally as he loved his son Jesus, to the point he would even sacrifice Christ for us, because when the word speaks about being fearfully and wonderfully made, it points out that God has a heart and a heartfelt interest for us that carries such a respect that we would be unique and set apart from all other forms of life to fulfill our destiny and our life purpose as an image bearer for Christ. If we walk in this belief, we can help others increase in their faith walk. Because as we draw closer to him, he draws near to us. What am I mean? James 4:8 tells us, draw near to God, and he shall draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your mind, you double-minded man. I believe as we draw closer to God, we begin to move closer to being single-minded, because our faith is ever-increasing. We won't be so flip-flop. As I spoke about the young man that turned away from his ministry, he allowed himself to go back to being double-minded. You know, he understood God. He loved the Lord. But he got let the cares of the world choke it out. So we have to strive. And how do we go that? We must help others to see the vision of who we are to become as well as ourselves. This starts with us looking at each other and our positive attributes that we possess. Because as I mentioned, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we are God's masterpiece. So if you're struggling with self-esteem, you got to realize you are God's masterpiece. You are fearfully, wonderfully made. You are unique. But see, as I was telling yesterday on the story, I'm a dark-complected man, for some have never seen me. And when I was growing up, they made that complexion look be the worst thing on the planet. And as I got to tell the story, the host of the show, he broke down in tears. He said how he said he felt my pain, because that was horrific. And I ain't the only one. Some of my former wife, she was light-complected. They made her life miserable. But this is what we do to people. How can we have ever-increasing faith when we're speaking negatively about each other? We're bombarding people with negative thoughts. Every day we're bombarded with negative thoughts. We get more negativity than we get positive. If you watch the news, out of 15 stories, they may give us one positive story. And then they're right back into negativity. If you go to everything that I'm not personally on Facebook, but if you go on Facebook, people are just killing each other with words. They're not speaking life. They're speaking death. And young kids at 5 years old, are committing suicide because they're speaking death. They're speaking death. Ah, they're speaking death. But the word tells us that these are the things we should think on, which those things that are true, that is just, that is honest, that is pure, that is lovely, that which has virtue and praiseworthy. This is out of Philippians 4:8. That is true. We see so many people distorting the truth. They're distorting the truth. They're not honest. I don't care if you're a thief. If you're straight up about it, I'm cool with it. At least I know where you're coming from versus the man that steals the heart, the man that steals the soul of an individual because he or she's not being truthful. See, if you know he a devil, you know he a snake, you know what you need to do with it. It's the ones that walk around that call themselves sheep and wolf. I mean, call themselves sheep and wolf. I mean, wolves and sheep clothing. They create an illusion. So we have to help each other to see the vision, the plan that God has for our life, and that is filled with the prosperity that aligns with God's meaning of prosperity. God's truth. Why? Because God is the way. The way. Now, you don't know which way to go. God is the way. He is the truth. And he is the light. What is that light? That light comes with abundance. Comes with abundance. As I was talking to someone, I sent out messages every week. And so I got honesty. So one of my friends who's a dynamic doctor who's working in Africa, working on environmental issues over there, as well as aquaculture, and she's just dynamic. Only met her once. I met her at a transitional African ceremony where you move from being mother to queen mother. This is all a part of the African tradition. And I only met her once, but I've known her 3 years. And so when I started sending her my messages, she said, when I first read your message, I said to myself, this is too long. I ain't got time for this. I don't have time for this. Now, the average message should take you top 5 minutes if you're a decent reader. And if you're a little slow on the game, maybe a little longer. However, she came back. She said, Dave, Spirit showed me one day. I need to read this because you're not sending fluff. You're not sending nonsense. You're sending scripture to back up what you're saying. And it began to help me in those moments when I needed my iron sharpened. My iron sharpened. See, what she grasped at that point was the vision that God gave me through the message, because there have been times I wanted to quit doing it. I wanted to quit doing it because I thought, what is the seed growing? But every now and then, someone will tell me, this seed is being a difference and make a difference in my life. But the Holy Spirit already told me, don't quit and don't change my method. So we have to help each other to see the vision God has for ourselves, and to help others see the vision he has for them. And what do we have to do? Demonstrate commitment. We must always show commitment to God, his plan for our lives, and to ourselves. As I said earlier, faith without works is dead. For as a disciple walking with Christ, they demonstrated commitment that they left everything behind to follow him. How I know this? Let me tell you what the scripture tells you in Matthew 19:27. Peter asked him, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? They didn't even know. They didn't even know. Eternity. The real deal. The real importance. To begin the church, they didn't know in the interim, but they knew in the end. 1 Kings 8:61 say, may your heart be fully committed to our Lord our God, to live by his decree and obey his commandment as at this time. Fully committed. I realize that takes time to get to that point, because even as much as the disciples walked with Christ, they struggled a little bit. But they learn how to be fully committed. And then 2 Timothy 15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. We back to that truth thing again. The word of truth. The word of truth. This is so important. And then we must establish ourselves in the four fundamentals of growth. One, establish ourselves in the true meaning of love. This is one of my favorite scriptures, if you will, because I think and I believe, and it says by Paul, do everything in love. This is so significant. And for those who may be on the call or hearing it, don't know it, I'm going to say it. Love is patient. Remember, God is so wonderful that he's patient with us. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices back in truth. It always protect, always trust, always hope, and always preserve. Those last four I talked about yesterday, that if even if you call yourself being a friend to someone, and the word tells no greater thing than a man could do to lay down his life for a friend, it would be about protecting that person. It'd be about establishing true trust with that person. It'd be about creating a hope so they can see the future. And you do all this by preserving it all. This is so significant. Then establish ourselves in the Word of God. I'm going to give you a few reasons, and I'm going to close out, and we're going to pick it up next week. It leads to a blessed life. Let me tell you how I can validate that. God's Word, which don't return void, and God is not a man who would lie. Let me show you what he say. Hallelujah. This is some good stuff. As Pastor Teresa say, this is some good eating right here. This is some good eating. Blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinner, nor sit at the seat of the scoffer. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law do he meditate on day and night. You got to meditate on it day and night. What does that mean? You ponder over it, just like you would ponder over when you fall in love with somebody for the first time. You can't breathe. You can't eat. You can't sleep. You can't get them out your mind. You're just daydreaming. You're goo-goo-eyed. Everybody know you're looking goofy. You're caught up, strung out, sprung. That's how we should be about God's Word. I'm not saying that every hour, every moment of the day, but it should be a part of that. And as you shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drive away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor the sinner in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the ways of the righteous, but the ways of the ungodly shall perish. So this is good stuff. Oh, we got some good stuff coming up here. I'm going to talk about establishing prayer, establishing fellowship. Oh, we're going to get into some heavy-duty stuff next week. But I want to close out quickly with the soldier's perspective, increasing in faith. It's never too late to increase in faith and walk with God. And just as we like to increase in faith, we need to spend more time with him, fasting, praying, fellowship, studying, and developing in love. This faith walk is a process that is all about growth. Like any key addition, no one gets it really down to a science until they put the work in, where it becomes a part of our nature. It's like driving. Very few people go through the steps like they did when they went to their first driving class. Let's continue to strive to increase in our faith walk. When we fall, let's get back up, because just like riding a bike, you may fall several times, but sooner or later, you'll be alive. So remember, again, if you have not accepted Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, accept him into your heart that he died on the cross for you. He loved you so much, and he forgives you of your sin. Turn away from the past and look forward to the future. The scripture tells you, no man that's pushing the plow should be looking back. Take him into your heart. Take him into your life and begin to become that spiritually mature Christian. And again, there are many people that share. Tomorrow there will be Pastor Prophet Teresa. Thursday will be Elder QT and all the other dynamic speakers. So again, if you want to know more about us, check out Kingdom Builder Development at KingdomBuilderPlaza@gmail.com. You can contact the home office at 313-583-9739. And you can sow into the ministry, www.giverify.com, GIVELIFY.com. I thank you for letting me share, and we are growing together and maturing in Christ. And again, don't hesitate to go study the Word. I'm just a man, but God's Word stands. And remember, you pray for me, I pray for you, and let's watch the amazing things that God will do. You have an amazing week. God bless you.
Your name is power, a strong tower makes me say.